Good morning. Today is Monday, March the 18th. Joining us this morning is the bank dude, Mr. Dalby.
Always a joy to see you, Brian.
Hey,
your bright and smiling face.
Sunshine will do that. That's kind of a snappy red, white, and blue kind of look.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep up with you because you are a snazzy dresser.
Orange and brown.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So, did your team make it to the, March Madness? It's a little too early, I suppose, but since it doesn't start till Thursday, but we can reference March Madness.
So, true confessions. I have no idea.
Oh.
I guess I better get on the internet and look, huh?
No, don't. I could say something like, don't beat a dead horse, but that's okay. All right, let's see if we can find out.
So you're going to test me here, huh?
That's right. Oh, okay. We got a little bit of construction going on in the area anticipated for this year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So why do we call a crane a derrick?
Oh, that's a derrick. Wow. I have no idea.
Because a famous 17th century hangman of Tyburn, England, was named?
Derrick.
Derrick, since he too hauled objects up by means of a rope and a stationary arm.
Good to know.
A crane came to be called a derrick.
Okay.
Yeah, that one may burn into your memory banks, huh?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any friends that I have named Derrick.
Right, yeah. Start calling him Crane, huh?
Yeah. Or start running if they have a rope in their hand.
Yeah, exactly. Looking at the Fed, we haven't heard an awful lot because I guess they haven't raised the rates in the last little bit. The lack of activity, what does that say? Or lack of movement, I guess, there's been activity.
So the Fed has a number of things that they're trying to accomplish. One is they want to control inflation. Two, they want to support or slow down the economy. They don't want it to overheat and they don't want it to slow down. But during the Obama administration, they had to continue to lower rates to the point they actually went 3/4 to a full percent below what is normally considered the floor. That would be 1%. And then they started QE 1, 2, and 3, which they started basically printing money and inflating the money supply to support the economy. Well, now with the Trump administration, they've been reversing that. And I always like to consider, if you think about it as an accelerator pedal on your car, the only way for you to accelerate is not to have it on the floor. So you have to get the pedal above the floor so at some point in time you can push it down again. So they've raised it up off the floor, if you want to say that. So they have some ability to stimulate the economy if they needed to. At the same time, they're watching the economy, watching inflation. And we've also have an inverting yield curve. It's flattening right now, but at the potential of inverting, which could be devastating to the economy.
Could be a little bit more dynamic, yeah.
Right. So they have a lot of stuff here that they're balancing.
Is it a balancing act rather than a, let's say, steering the stagecoach?
You can't really steer from where they're at. So yes, it's balancing. It's there's a risk to raising rates, and yet if you raise them the right amount, there's some reward to it. So they're balancing risk and reward. And if they raise it too high, they could have the economy stall. We could end up with an inverted yield curve and potentially push us into recession. If they don't, we could see some inflation. We could see the economy overheating.
What are the outside pressures, the variables, so to speak, that are – there's nothing static. They're reacting rather than leading. So what are the things that they're looking at? Is it simple stuff like housing starts, numbers of employed, unemployment rate, currency conversion, balance of trade, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, some of those phrases that we hear kicked around pretty regularly? Or are they looking at other things as their barometers?
Well, they look at everything as their barometer, but the two big things they look at are at this point in time, are employment and inflation. So they would like to see inflation that 2% range. Then they watch. They also watch their GDP growth. But yes, they watch everything. I mean, you have to.
But GDP can be impacted by, let's say, this cell that's in the Midwest with flooding over the Midwest. You know that the grains and the ag community is going to take a pretty good hit because all of their stuff's floating towards the Gulf. Okay. So there are those external circumstances that are
right.
are
and
there,
but that's,
and they take into account for that.
Yeah, but that's they have to. I mean, you would have to, say, okay. He just gave me the duh look.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course they do. At the same time, you have to look at the way we calculate employment and unemployment now. We've monkeyed with those, so those numbers aren't what they used to be. So. You have to take that into account also.
So they look at the historical definitions?
I don't know.
For consistency?
I don't know, but you have to look at the fact that we've changed the metric. And one of the things, if you want to use a metric over time, it needs to be consistent. Well, we've changed the definitions, which is a political decision.
Well, same thing with employment.
That's what we're talking about.
And what about with the prime?
Now,
has that been changed?
Prime hasn't been changed, but, prime is an interesting animal because when you say prime, every bank has its own prime rate. They set their own. So tomorrow, if I chose, I could set my prime rate at 15%. I'd make a lot of money for a short period of time because all my customers would go away. So every bank has its own prime. Then you have the Wall Street Journal prime, which is kind of considered the standardization of the industry. So generally, if you want to know what prime is, it's Wall Street Journal prime. But the interesting thing is LIBOR is going away.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So are we. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Dilnort counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Dilnort and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with the bank dude, John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. Yeah. You never thought about getting him to do it, did you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Good.
Not until now.
Yeah.
And after hearing you say it?
And yeah, it's gone, probably, yeah.
Yeah. We're done.
Now, before the break, John, you said the LIBOR was going to be discontinued. Okay, for folks that are unfamiliar with it, why would this have any impact?
So LIBOR is more of an international prime rate, if you want to call it that. And so they're making some changes in the European markets. And so
is this the whole Brexit or connected to that?
I don't know that it's connected to Brexit. That's a good question, but I don't think it is, but it may be. But with that said, the impact on is greater at the big banks because the larger banks use LIBOR more than small banks. We have some loans that primarily residential real estate loans that are tied to LIBOR, and those borrowers will receive a notice of the change in their indice for their loans. But you won't see LIBOR much longer.
Will it be replaced by something or just?
It is being replaced, but I don't know what it is.
When these are established, or when they are referenced, the idea is to what?
So the difference between LIBOR and prime is really set a little bit more arbitrarily, meaning that the Federal Reserve can push it up and down to some degree, actually a large degree, where LIBOR was, you know, was an interchange rate. So it was truly a independent rate. So
because its footprint was so large that
and it was a market. You know, it's like saying, what is the stock value? So, you know, it can go up and down based on what market pressures are. So
going like to a farmer's market and everybody's selling carrots.
Right.
And everybody just kind of figures out what they want to sell their carrots.
Exactly. And at some point you settle in on a price for carrots. Same thing with money with LIBOR. It is an actual exchange, and this is what they came up with, you know, that day. And so many of our other rates are set the same way. For instance, your U.S. Treasuries are all set in the same way, market rates. And so we get a daily quote on what they closed at that day. And so we use those quite a bit for commercial real estate loans. We'll probably be using treasuries for our residential real estate loans moving
forward. You use those on a daily basis to tick it up or tick it down, or do you look at a monthly average? I mean, how does the application of that knowledge apply?
So if your loan reprices on, you know, June 30th, it is what was at the close of business on June 30th, what was the, you know, for instance, the constant maturity treasuries for the five-year bill. You know, this is what yours is, might be tied to. It's what that is, and then you add a margin to that or subtract a margin, depending on circumstances, and that's your new rate for the next period of time. So it's generally on the day in which your loan reprices.
So a prescribed date. So you're not reacting to the market.
Lines of credit are a little different. Generally, those are all tied to something like LIBOR or Prime, and they move up and down whenever LIBOR or Prime move up and down.
So that's much more fluid.
Yes. Short-term rates. That's the name. Really short-term.
Yeah.
Daily.
Yeah. So when the governors get together at the Federal Reserve, they're taking into account all of this information, and we'll just have an amalgamation of all this stuff, and their staff will have input, and they'll have discussions, and then they determine whether or not to keep it as is, take it up, take it down. Is that kind of how the game gets played?
Pretty much. I've never been privy to go to one of those meetings, but they also do something else that's very interesting. Is they will. Provide a scatter diagram of what each governor, not by name, but what each governor believes rates will be at various times. So they'll take the next few quarters and they'll say, okay, this governor says that they believe that the rate will be this, and this over the next few quarters. This one says, no, it'll be this. And then you get an idea of where the mindset is and where the majority believe rates are going to go. Now, keep in mind, that's only a prediction. That once they get to that point that they thought there would be a rate change, they have to look at what the economy is doing and what the metrics are, and is this good or bad for our economy?
They haven't locked things down yet and rip the knobs off, so to speak.
It's strictly a prediction.
It's just right there.
But it gives you an idea what they're thinking.
So when that information comes out, markets obviously react to that, whether it's the markets with currency and lending or retail or futures or.
The other thing to look at is currency exchange futures, because that gives you an idea what the market believes is going to happen. So there's a lot of predictive stuff out there if you want to look at it. Some driven by the market, some driven by the feds. At the same time, everything, you know, is reactive to the actual numbers at the time they have to make the decision.
So when this information comes out from the U.S. Federal Reserve governors, does that ripple through the entire world of finance, or is it just the American world of finance?
Well, the U.S. economy is pretty important on the world stage. So the answer to your question is yes, it impacts everyone.
It's 8:30.
Decade of Difference presents the High School Innovate Business Challenge.
I'm Genevieve Regley, encouraging you to go for it and submit an idea. I didn't know if my idea would be selected, but it was, and I learned a lot about my idea and myself. It was a great experience and helped kickstart my business while still attending Ferndale High School.
Learn more at decadeofdifference.org. Deadline to enter is February 15th. Upload your idea and compete for thousands of dollars. It's the Decade of Difference. Be a part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby, CEO from Redwood Capital Bank. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, along with Murphy's Markets. John, with the Fed and the Board of Governors, where do the governors of this entity come from? You hear about them. Sometimes you hear a name. I suppose if we want to do a little research, we could, find out who their names are. But typically you hear about the chair. And that's pretty much all she wrote. Mm-hmm. And we sit back and go, oh, prime's going up. Uh-oh, credit card rates are going up. Prime goes down. Hey, all right, real estate loans are going down. And that's probably about as deep as 95% of us go, unless you're employed in the industry. Where are these guys and gals from?
I've really never explored the actual governance and, model of the Federal Reserve Board. It's a really good question. I know that I frequently get letters from bankers in the Northern California areas looking for us to vote for them into the San Francisco Federal Reserve. So they do have individual elections, and I don't know how that works to take them up to the national scene. So I really can't answer your question. How's that?
Par. Is the Federal Reserve subject to political pressures?
Absolutely. And in fact, I would tell you that the Federal Reserve probably has some political bias. One of the things that when they talk about the Obama economy, the Federal Reserve did everything beyond what was thought to be possible to assist the economy, and we still had a very anemic recovery. Yeah, and I'm not saying this because of political bias. So I'm not saying,
the numbers
one are bad. I'm just saying what the numbers are. And with the, Trump economy, it's almost been the opposite. They've been trying to slow it down as much as they can to some degree, much, much more aggressively than they would have under the Obama administration.
For fear of inflation or that they're having to eat crow?
I don't know. I mean, you don't sit in the room, so
you don't
know.
Get talking heads in your niche about the Federal Reserve?
It appears to me that they've been overly aggressive in raising rates because we get in this flattening yield curve and so forth, yet the economy continues to move forward and to prosper. So, the biggest issue we have coming at us on the economic side right now is going to be labor and, industry, the trades.
Contracts or lack of the blue-collar segment?
Lack of labor. So, industry, trades are really, it's the millennial mindset that I'm not going to go to work at the bottom rung and work my way up through my lifetime. I want to start, where I want to be.
Well, it is encouraging that the educational community, at least in our neighborhood, is recognizing this and doing things for the attraction into the trades.
Yeah, I would say the Humboldt County Board of Education has been very proactive, now for over 10 years, seeing this trend and trying to reverse it and to take advantage of it. But, and that's the thing that I tell young people today is, look, your fellow young people don't want to work.
You haven't practiced that line a lot, have you?
No, I haven't.
Your fellow young people.
Yeah. What a great opportunity. Instead of looking at it and saying, oh, gee whiz, this is terrible. If you're young, a millennial right now, majority of the people around you don't want to pay the price and work their way up. What a great opportunity. So we have to look at these things and what is the opportunity now because of, you know, the state of the generation.
Well, the accelerated career ladder.
Yeah, and so there's, you know, I look at it and say, well, what a great opportunity. I can remember I had a brother-in-law who lived in Australia, and he said, come to Australia, because they have a very socialist society. Come to Australia because it's easy to get a job. Nobody wants to work. And I didn't. But, I mean, that's really what the situation is now. You can do really well if you go into the trades because they pay up because there's so few people that are in the trades. And the same thing's going to be true in factories and other quote, blue-collar jobs. They're going to pay very well because we need them.
Well, and
there's a shortage.
I know teachers, you know, we've heard about that for years, that once things started to turn a little bit, with the aging out of faculty, there's a dearth. We heard it this morning in the news, St. Joe's stepping up and kicking some stuff for nurses, because nobody's been getting into nursing, and there's such a demand.
Yeah, it's not that people don't want to get into nursing. There aren't programs available.
Well, and then you've got the structure saying, okay, nobody's going in. Let's narrow that thing down, choke it down, and then you start to get a demand, and you're upside down.
Yeah, all right. We have
is that true with bankers?
We have a nurse. Actually, it is. And the problem being is that there isn't a banking program out there for us. So
what is the ideal educational background if somebody wants to get into banking? I would think finance would be there.
Finance and accounting is optimal. One of the things that, I mean, there's two career paths there. There's one that, you know, you come in as a teller and you work your way up through the operational side of the bank. The other is on the lending, which you got to have, you know, to get in the high ends of the lending, you really need to have some accounting or finance background.
I would think skill sets would be critical.
Right.
You don't want to miss on one of those.
But we have to train our own at this point because, you know,
is that better?
Out there. In the long run, I think it's better. What I found, especially hiring entry-level people, is I'd rather hire somebody that has a good attitude and good work ethic. I can teach them how to be a teller rather than hiring somebody who is a teller somewhere else and brings their bad habits in. So... yes, in many ways, it's better to train your own. The problem is it can be expensive, and you can spend a lot of time training somebody and a lot of money, and then they don't pan out.
Or they walk across the street.
They do. They could walk away.
Yeah, I would think, well, it's probably with any business.
Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that with the police department that, you know, the EPD is now, you know, paying candidates to go through the academy in order to hire new officers.
Yeah, it's interesting where the opportunities are and where they aren't. Mm-hmm. Some of the historical things aren't necessarily there today. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The Los Angeles flight is a great success. Did you hear? Starting May 29th, we'll have a second departure to Los Angeles. It makes it even easier to visit sunny SoCal. What's more, we'll have flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a few hours away from the Mile High City or wherever you want to go. This will make connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby. John, if somebody's interested in trying to figure out or to understand better or just is one of those warped individuals that wants to know more about the Federal Reserve, where do you go? How do you find out? Because it, by design, it's kind of cloaked a little bit in secrecy also.
Yeah, but they have a pretty robust website. You could go on there and see how
get a pretty good sense.
Yeah. You know, or Wikipedia. That's always a source, right?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Gee, you know, I wonder sometimes, we've been watching some of the older shows, you know, if laughing. You know, what would Rowan and Martin have said instead of look that up in your Funk and Wagnalls? Oh, yeah. Some of that stuff is intriguing, certainly. If somebody does want to get into your your niche, your career path. Is it all the numbers? I mean, do you guys sit down and talk to high school kids, kids out of high school, returning military, those wanting career changes? If somebody is interested and says, you know, what is it that you do? I'm kind of intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
Is there that kind of opportunity?
So certainly we work with HSU and we participate in a lot of their career advancement courses. We're open to talking with their business department. I've talked with their economics department. You know, we've done a number of things like that. Our industry is a little different in that its numbers are important, but it's really about its relationship. And so you need to have the kind of personality that truly wants to take care of customers and do what they help them out with what they're doing. At the same time, understand the numbers so you can do it.
So if you do have an accounting student that's looking at it, they need to have a personality transplant?
Ouch.
Well, we'll find out if Macaulay's listening or not. Or friends of Macaulay.
Yeah,
yes.
There you go.
Thanks for coming by, bud. See everybody tomorrow.